Our scripture reading this morning, this comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31. I'll be reading verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, to the end of the chapter. Let us hear the reading of God's holy and inerrant and infallible word. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. This is the first time that I've, on Mother's Day, am going to preach a Mother's Day sermon. And one of the reasons for that is because when we look at the scriptures, there are not a lot of passages that talk about Mother's Day or specifically instructions in scripture which tell mothers how to be mothers. You can find lots of passages which talk about how to be a father and the important duties for that. There are many passages which teach about what it means to be a godly husband. There are fewer passages, but yet there are still several in the Bible written to mothers. Fewer than what is given to fathers and to husbands, but there are passages written directly to wives. But when we look for passages which talk about mothers, they are few. They are several words or a few phrases. And this particular passage that I've read this morning does give us some principles and some things about what it means to be a mother in Scripture and what it means to be a godly mother. Yet before we do that, I think there's some important things that we must establish as we look at this passage and as we look at it in its context. Now, some people on the surface will see that this passage speaks not necessarily directly to mothers, but more specifically to what it means to be a wife of noble character. And I have known some men who will, when not things aren't going well in the home, look at their wife, and they will read this passage at the end of Proverbs, and they'll say to her, "Now, how come you're not like that?" It has happened. Some men have done that. But what I hope to establish this morning, or I plan to establish this morning, is that Proverbs 31 is not just a passage that is written for mothers. It is not just a passage that is written for wives and what it means to be a noble wife or a noble woman. But this passage is written for Christ's entire church. Take a look back with me at chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, the author is calling the young man. He is giving instructions to a young man who is living his life, as to where he should go and what he should look for. And there are two ladies in this passage that he is describing. Let's read it. Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk the dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she has made before God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the unrighteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. In this chapter, you see the contrast between two different ladies. And these two ladies are described all the way through the book of Proverbs. You have the lady which is Lady Wisdom, the lady which loves the ways of the Lord, the lady which is the knowledge of the Lord, that the author is calling the young man to look to. But also through the book of Proverbs, you see the young man tempted by the lady of evil. The alternative is not a lady of wisdom or a lady of uprightness. It is a lady who is later on described as an adulteress, as someone who uses seductive words, as a contentious person, that is, someone hard to live with. There's a proverb which describes a man as being better off living on the corner roof of his house than to live with a contentious woman. A woman who is a gossip. A woman who has no money and is always wanting more. She is never happy. And ultimately, as our chapter 2 ended, who leads her house down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. Verse 18. The young man is being called to look to a different lady. There is the lady which is seductive, the lady who will lead him to death, and then there is the call to the lady who is upright, the lady who knows wisdom, the lady who loves God. And so at the end of the book of Proverbs, we have this chapter, after reading the whole book and seeing these different themes run through, we have this chapter 31 which describes the wife, the woman of wisdom. This is the call of the young man at the end of the book to look for Lady Wisdom, to live his life looking for the wisdom of God, to marry into the wisdom of God, not into the woman who is seductive, who will lead him to death. Now, perhaps some of you have wondered, as you looked at this last section in Proverbs 31, how come there is instructions given to a wife, a noble wife, but there are no instructions given to a noble or a godly husband? Some husbands have said, well, that's because husbands are godly, and they don't need to hear this. That's not true. They need to hear it just as the wife does. But the book of Proverbs only ends with a description of the godly wife, because not only is he describing Lady Wisdom, but he is also giving a message to God's bride. Who is the bride of Christ? The bride of Christ is his church. The book of Proverbs is written to Christ's church. It is written to the bride of Christ. This is the description of how a bride should live, of how a woman should live, but also how the church of Christ should live. It is the church that must be the wife of noble character, the wife of her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the church who must have these characteristics inside of it in the hearts of the people that dwell and live in that church. It is the church who is called not to follow the lady of wickedness, but it is the church who is called to look to her husband, who is the wisdom of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven and gave true wisdom, who came down from heaven, as we learned this morning, and fulfilled all of these proverbs, who lived a righteous life so that we have hope, so that we can be a bride who is worthy of this noble character. And so as we look at this passage, we are not looking at this passage from the perspective, well, this is how you are. If you do these things, you are a Christian. But we are looking at these things as saying, look, you as a church are the bride of Christ. This is the character that should be shown in your life as you live your life for Him. So there's two things to consider as we look at these proverbs together. First, these proverbs are for all of Christ's church. Dads, don't go home today and read this to your wife and say, okay, honey, this is how you have to be. Children, don't go home today and look at your mom and say, okay, mom, you're failing in this area, in this area, in this area. This is also for you. This is for children. This is for husbands. This is how you should live as a godly person in Christ's church. Yet, on the other hand, God has given us, and this is the second thing to remember, God has given us this analogy. He has used the end of the book of Proverbs to give us an analogy of which we can see between a husband and a wife and how that bride should live, the comparison between Christ and His church. And so, even though it is addressed to the whole church, there are principles that we can learn from this analogy of how a wife or how a godly woman should live and how she should act. So let's look here at verse 10, starting at verse 10 here. It says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Now many of you have different translations for the word noble, or different words, I should say, in your different translations. Some of you have a virtuous woman. Some of you have an excellent woman. I did some work in my Hebrew dictionary, and such words as a woman of strength, a woman who is efficient, a woman with ability, is hard to find. All of these different words used to describe this woman who is noble, who is virtuous, who is an excellent woman. The bottom line of all of this is that she is a wife who has moral character. She has strong moral strength. These kind of women, says the author of Proverbs, they are hard to find. And if you can find one, he goes on, she is worth far more than rubies. Now, I'm sure this morning that if we asked all the men here, is your wife more precious than rubies? All the men would put up their hands and say, yes, my wife is more precious than rubies. Of course, she is. But we need to look further at this, of what this means to be more precious than rubies, by taking a look back at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. And here the author of Proverbs is talking to a man who is finding Lady Wisdom. And look what he says. Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. The author is describing wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of finding Christ here in chapter 3, the wisdom of knowing God and of serving Him. You will find that more precious than any ruby. You will find that more precious than any kind of silver or gold or anything that you desire. If you find that hope in God, you will find something more precious than anything you can find here on this earth. Now notice the principle here. The author is saying in Proverbs 31, verse 10, if you find Christ, if you find the wisdom of Christ, this, what you find in Him in your salvation, is more important than anything you will ever find here on this earth. That's what he's saying to the church. But he's also saying something to husbands, isn't he? He's saying something that if you can find a wife of noble character, of one who has strong Christian characteristics, one who has strong love for Christ, someone like that is hard to find, and she's worth far more than rubies. And so after that, in verses 11 through 27, he describes for you what this woman is like and the characteristics of what she should be. And at the end of the section, in verse 28, look what he says. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. How many wives, how many mothers wouldn't want that very thing? Not only do their children arise and call her blessed, and most children do call their mothers blessed, they don't have to try too hard to do that, but their children see that in her life. But not only does the children do that, but her husband also praises her for what she has done. This is what every woman desires. This is what every woman should want. She wants to be the kind of woman that her children on Mother's Day would appreciate and know. She wants to be the kind of woman that her husband would appreciate and know. And so, in between the character as it is described, in between is this section of teaching which ends with this woman who has these characteristics, whose children praise her and whose husband looks to her. You see the structure of our passage. It starts with describing who the woman is, a woman of noble character. Then it gives us the description of who she is, and it ends with a woman like this and what happens to her in her life. And so we begin looking at these verses that are in between. These verses which describe what a noble woman is. Now we aren't going to have time this morning to go through every verse in detail, but what we can do this morning is look at a common theme. And the common theme that comes from verse 11 through verse 27 is this. The woman of noble character is one who serves her household. She makes the focus of her life serving her family, and that is her husband and her children. In the context of her home, in the context of her marriage, in the context of who she is. She focuses her life, as you look at all of these verses, you will see it come through again in verse after verse after verse. Her focus is to better her household, to better the family. Everything she does is not for her own purpose, but for the betterment of her household. Now, this kind of teaching may not be something that is too popular today in our culture. Many women try to seek their own good. Many women are taught that they need to find their own self, find their own career. They shouldn't be trapped in the home. They need to come out from under the wing of all of these things. But what we read here in Proverbs 31, it tells us something different. And so before somebody could arise and object to such a thing, they need to look at this in the context again of Christ and His church. What is the church, the bride of Christ, supposed to do? Serve her husband. Serve the household, the members of the church which are on this earth. That is the task. That is what God is calling the church to do. That is what Christ wants you to do, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Because as you serve Christ, as you serve one another in Christ's church, you are glorifying God. And so the purpose as you serve in Christ's church is not your own purpose, but the purpose is the glory of God and for Him and His church. And so not only do you see this as you look into marriage and what is taught in this passage in the context of marriage, but you see this, how it relates to your life and how you live for Him, for Christ in His church. Well, okay, let's look at a few of these verses and let's see how this relates not only to husbands, but to children and to serving in Christ's church. Verse 11. A noble woman, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. This is a husband who loves his wife, who has such confidence in her that he lacks nothing of value else. Now remember what we read in Proverbs chapter 3. We read that if the man finds wisdom, he will find something more precious than rubies, more precious than silver and gold, more precious than anything else he could ever find on this earth. What is the Proverbs teaching us? The proverb is saying, look, if a husband has such confidence in his wife, such confidence in their relationship, there will be nothing else of value that he will seek. So many times we see husbands today who try to find value in something else. They who aren't getting along with their wives, who do not have full confidence in their marriage and in their life, they seek to find value in something else. Maybe it's in their work. Maybe it's in some type of possession. They're trying to find happiness in something like that. Maybe it's in another interest or a personal hobby that they have that they focus their attention on because they cannot find value in their marriage and in their life. But here it tells us that, look, a wife who has noble, godly character, the husband will have such confidence in her that he'll lack nothing of value. Now you say, boy, that is really strong teaching. I'm not sure that I could believe that, that I could see that. But remember, our author is using the analogy of Christ and His church to describe this. And in chapter 3, he has said, look, if a man finds wisdom, if a man finds God, if the young man searches after Christ and loves Him, there'll be nothing else that he will want. The proverb is teaching that, look, in the context of a husband and wife relationship, you say, well, if I find full confidence in my wife, I as a husband will lack nothing. You say it's not true. Yet at the same time, you know that if you find full confidence and the love of God in searching Him and in knowing Him, are you going to lack nothing else? Sure. If you have Christ, you will have it all. Okay, let's go on. Verse 12. A wife of noble character brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. This is a woman who, by her serving, by her love of God, she brings her husband good and not harm. Turn to Proverbs 12, verse 4. Proverbs 12, verse 4. Look what it says in Proverbs 12, verse 4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The proverb in Proverbs 12, verse 4 tells us that a wife of noble character, a wife of godly character, she makes her husband look better. She is his crown, his pride, his joy, his family. It's what he has. But not only does a wife have the capability to be her husband's crown, but look what else she could do. A disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. A decay in his bones would be the most painful, long, drawn out decay and death that he could possibly ever experience. It is from the inside out, the destruction of it. Well, now look again at Proverbs 31, verse 12. The wife has the capability to bring her husband such good all the days of her life, not to harm him. But she also has the capability to bring him down. And not only her husband down, but the entire household down. Many husbands, I'm sure some of you know them or are acquainted with people like that, who've been brought down either by their own failures or the failures of their wives. Maybe they have successful careers in other things, in other areas of life, but when it comes to their family, it's always been a struggle, always will be a struggle, and they are brought down. Well, it's the same way with the church. A church can be strong. A church, as a Christian, as you serve God in His church, you can bring great name to the name of Christ. And the unbeliever or other Christians look at you and they see the works of Christ. They see Christ in your life and in what you are doing. But you can also bring great harm to the name of Christ by living a sinful life, by being disobedient, by harming Him and His name as you live on this earth. You see, there's a contrast that we see as we look at these different things. Now look at verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that every wife needs to go home and learn how to sew? And if the wife doesn't know how to sew, she's not being the wife of noble character. No, that's not what it's teaching us. But what it is doing is it's giving us a principle here. This wife is able to be creative for the good of the household. This particular wife that he's describing is one who sees needs in the household, and she's able to make clothes and to do things for the good of the household, for the good of her children, for the good of her family. She's able to become creative and to find things that she can do for her household to help her household. She has in mind not only that she has eager hands doing these things, but she has in mind that it is for the good of her house, her husband, and for the family, for her to find these things that she can use to develop her talents and her abilities. Well, so it is in the church. When we serve Christ in this church, He's not calling us to sit around and to relax, to wait for others to do it. But He's calling us to live faithfully, to work with eager hands, to be creative in our lives and how we serve Him, how we serve Him in His kingdom. There's a principle for a wife. There's a principle for a member of the church. Well, let's jump ahead a verse to verse 15. Look what it tells us there. This woman gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Now, does this mean that every wife must get up before dawn every morning to be a noble woman? I think if I preach that, I may not make it out of here later. But what it is teaching us is that this woman is responsible for her household. She knows what she has to do, this noble wife, to get the household going. Now, the illustration is here that she gets up before dark. Why? Because she's got to make sure that the family is fed, that they can get going, that they can accomplish their things during the day. She has to get going in time so that the servant girls know what they have to do. If the wife isn't able to get going, if the wife isn't responsible, the servant girls won't know what to do. The family won't get started. She is working. She is serving for the good of her household, for the good of her life. She is not a lazy person. Well, so it is in Christ's church. As we live, as we serve Him, we are not to be lazy. We are not to be people who do not care. Let others take it for us. We do not worry about our lives and so forth. No, we are people who are faithful, who serve Him, who look for things to do, who work hard, who know what we must do as members of Christ's church to serve Him. Let's drop down to a couple more to verse 21. Verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet clothing is clothing that is very warm. What is the principle here? This kind of woman has her household prepared so that when the snow comes, the children aren't not have adequate clothes and are freezing and are getting sick and the household could go down. No, she's got her household prepared. She has no fear for her household because she knows that she has prepared it for what is to come. The children have clothing. They are able to wear clothing which will keep them warm, which will keep them strong. This is the description of this woman. She's able to know what is going to happen, what things are needed to be done so the household is not left unprepared, that the household could come under attack, that the household could be destroyed. No, this is a woman who is prepared. A faithful church member is one who is not caught off guard. Jesus does not come back and surprise us and we're not ready. A faithful church member is always prepared for what is going to happen, for what is going to come their way at any time. Look at verse 25. She is a woman who is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. The character that she has is one that is strong in Christ and in character. And so when things happen in the future, she doesn't sit around and worry about what is going to happen to the family or what is going to happen. But she is so strong. She has the household so much together that as the days come, she is not one who can worry, but she laughs. She relaxes. They are all in the Lord. Look at verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In the culture we live in, it is structured for idleness. Soap operas are on what times of the day? When the husband is off to work, when the kids are off to school. The temptation around a wife who does not have noble character is to sit around, to not work for the household, to not do things that need to be done to prepare for when the children come home, for when the husband needs them and things have to be accomplished. But instead, she sits around in idleness. No, the author of Proverbs is calling the woman to be one who is always watching over the affairs, to not sit to idleness, to be concerned about her household, to be working for it, for the good of the family, for the good of her husband, and for the good of Christ's church. God does not call us to sit around and relax. God does not call us to take it easy, to give to idle time. We are called to serve Him. And so we come to verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. her husband also, and he praises her. Why are the children calling their mother blessed? Because their mother has served them. Their mother has looked out for them. Their mother has been concerned about their well-being. She has her household together. She has the ability to be concerned about them, to make sure that things are running smoothly, to make sure that they're going okay. And when the child looks back and he thinks about his mother, quite often you will hear a child say, "Well, I don't think I could have made it without my mom." And her husband also praises her. Why does the husband praise her? Because the wife has the household going. His household is not bringing him down. But look where the husband is. Verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. If the husband's household is bringing him down, there is no way he is going to be sitting at the gate at the place where the elders of the land are seated. He's going to be home trying to get his household in order. No, this passage is calling wives to live faithfully for God. It is calling mothers to serve their household. It is calling God's church to serve God, to serve His people as they live here in this land. And as you live faithfully, what happens? The children of the household, the fellow church members, will call you blessed. As you live faithfully, your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will praise you. Why? Because you have faithfully served him. You have demonstrated the godly character of a Christian wife, of a Christian husband, of a Christian responsible who lives in this world. And so the passage ends by saying, verse 29, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." So is a faithful woman of God. So is a faithful servant of God. Her beauty is not found, as it says, in her outside charm, in the woman of the adulteress, which is so easy to follow, the one who gives you pleasure, the one who gives you the things that you want, the easy life, so it seems. But her beauty is found in her fear of the Lord. So it is with our church, with the love of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at the scriptures in Proverbs 31, we see, Lord, the call to be faithful mothers, the call to be faithful wives. And Lord, we know that as we read these verses, we see that we are not perfect. We see that as mothers, we are not perfect. We have things we need to improve on. We also see, Lord, as members of your church, we are not perfect. For how many of us, Lord, do not spend idle time waiting for things to happen before we can serve you? How many of us, Lord, are not faithful in our character, in our lives, and how we live? But we know, Lord, that because we have a Savior who has saved us, we can look to our husband and know that in him and in his works of righteousness, we have hope and we can be called blessed. And so, Lord, in our gratitude to Christ, may you help us to live faithfully for you. And Lord, as members of your church, as children, as husbands, as singles, as mothers, Lord, may we demonstrate the godly character so that the other members of our church may see the love of Christ in us. May they call us blessed to you and to your kingdom. May our Savior, the Lord Jesus, praise us for what we have done through him here in our lives. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.